This is Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And having taken some bread, when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that man through whom he is betrayed." And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing, betrayal. And then there arose a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. But let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table, but I am among you as one who serves? And you are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. This wasn't originally the gospel lesson I was going to share from, but I really sense the Holy Spirit saying, go for this one. If you've been a CTK for a while, you've heard a little bit of this before, but this one always blows my mind. Well, there's everything in here that blows my mind, actually. Now, Jesus has been speaking to them about the cross. They didn't fully get it, but one of the Gospels, maybe in the Luke passage, actually, when they were kept going asleep when he's at Gethsemane, and our tendency is to judge them because they just weren't spiritual enough. One of the Gospels says they fell asleep because their sorrow was so great. And so even though they may not have understood fully what was going on, they did understand that Jesus was extremely distressed, because it talks about the fact that he was that distressed and troubled. And so this is the one whom they loved. They had left everything to follow, and so it distressed them too. And so they know something's going on to Christ that's very troubling to him. And then Jesus makes the statement at the end of the Eucharist when he says, "Behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on the table." Again, they may not have understood what that was all about, but they understood what he meant by someone betraying him, because they began in verse 23 to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be, because they all knew they had issues. I mean, you would think it'd be pretty obvious to all of them it was Judas, right? I mean, certainly he was so evil that everybody could tell he was the bad guy. No, actually, he was the one they trusted with all the money. And they didn't just automatically point at Judas, they pointed at themselves. They began to actually discuss among themselves, accuse each other. I bet it's you, or it could, because they weren't perfect. But what I love about them is how imperfect they are. Because after discussing which one of them it might be, because obviously Jesus is going to be betrayed by one of them, which is not good, he's very troubled, they immediately, verse 24, began to talk about themselves. And there arose a dispute. Now, they're arguing with each other about which one of them is going to betray Jesus. And can you imagine how that conversation went? It says, then there arose a dispute among them as to which one of them would be regarded as the greatest. And it says there arose. And so in the midst of the conversation of which one of them was going to betray them, probably one of them said, well, it can't be me because I'm going to be the greatest. And then they begin to argue with each other now about who's going to be the greatest. Be encouraged. If you're a teacher or you're a disciple, this is 3.5 years after intense Bible study and intense discipleship. Now, if I'd have been in Jesus' position, after all that I'd been through and teaching them, being with them, all the time I'd put with them, sharing my heart now, revealing that I'm going to be betrayed, I'm obviously facing something, they may not understand it, but they know I'm troubled. And if they began to argue with each other about who's going to be the greatest, I would have just said, class over. I'm getting 12 new guys and we're starting all over again. I can't do anything with you. Much less trust the advancing of the kingdom to you in just a few days. This was the people he was going to pass the baton over to. And then Jesus said to them, kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. And those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. But let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I'm among you as one who serves. I love the fact, again, that Jesus, he simply tries to redirect their understanding. Desiring to be great in the eyes of God is not a bad thing. But you have to understand, what does it mean to be great in the eyes of God? Not somebody who has all the authority, who rules, but the one who serves. Desiring greatness in the eyes of God is what every Christian should long for. I want to be everything he's called me to be. Not great in the eyes of people. That's irrelevant. But then he does this. Again, he's not rebuking them. Instead, he says in verse 28, and you, and these are the goofballs who just got in an argument when Jesus is going through the roughest time ever that they've ever been with him. And they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus says, and you are those who have stood by me in my trials. I'm thinking, like now? But Christ had been through a lot, right? I mean, the crowd had turned on him, or at least the leadership had turned on him a couple years earlier. And they had stood with him. When other people left him, John 6, they're the ones who said, Jesus said, are you going to leave too? They said, where are we going to go? Who else has words of eternal life? And he says, and you are those who have stood by me in my trials, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you'll eat at my table, eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he points at Simon, the leader. Oh, by the way, speaking of betrayal, Satan's obtained permission to sift you like wheat. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Then he says this to him. He says, interesting thing, he says, but I've prayed for you. Now, he didn't pray for him that he wouldn't fail. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned again, he didn't say, I prayed that your faith wouldn't fail so that you won't give in to the temptation to deny me. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And when you've turned again, after you've failed, you'll strengthen your brothers. What's this all about? The fact is that you and I sometimes fail is not a shocker to Jesus and doesn't disqualify you from being those that he'll use in an extravagant way. And the way Jesus deals with us when we fail, conviction doesn't involve condemnation. The way Jesus deals with us is that he speaks into our lives. Things like, you see, when I blow it, I'm beating myself up at a terrible level, and the enemy, I'm listening to a conversation from him, who is the accuser of the brethren, and I'm doing a really good job of it. And Jesus always comes to me. And he may affirm, Chuck, that was really, here's the deal, you missed it, yada, yada, yada. But he said, but it always speaks into my heart, affirmative stuff. Reminds me of who I am in him. Reminds me of the times when I didn't say yes to the enemy. Reminds me of progress. Speaks into the new creation that I am. Calling forth that which he sees in me that's good. That's part of what it means that the kindness of God draws us to repentance. And then he makes the point with the leader. Oh, by the way, leader, you're going to fail. It won't be as bad as Judas, but it'll be pretty famous. But here's what I pray, that when you fail, your faith won't fail, that you won't give in to such discouragement and such despair that the enemy takes you out. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm going to pray that your faith won't fail so that once you've turned, you'll be able to strengthen your brothers. Why is that important? Because they're all going to blow it too. Jesus told them they were all going to desert him at the cross, and they all did. Does the Lord ever want us to fail? No. But do we fail as we're learning how to steward this new life in Christ? Yes. And when we do, is he through with us? Does he come to condemn us? No. He reminds us of the things we've gotten right. He calls us forth. He said, he'll say things to us like, you could trust me in this. Remember how you trusted me here? He's not about being a perfectionist, though he's perfect. He's come to transform us. He's come to make our lives new. He didn't do all that and pay such an amazing price. We'll talk about this some tonight at our Monday, Thursday service, but it says, and the Father made him sin on our behalf. Think about that. He didn't do that just so he could catch us and condemn us and to yell at us and pout towards us. He did all that to transform us, and the process doesn't end the moment we receive him as our Savior. You with me? He affirmed them, and they did. That was horrible what they did. How insensitive and selfish, arguing about who's going to be the greatest, when Jesus just said one of them is going to betray him, and Jesus said, you're the guys who stood me all this time in trials. You're going to rule, and you, leader, you're going to strengthen your brothers, because failure doesn't disqualify you from God using you. It's losing your faith when you fail that disqualifies you. You hear me? Weaknesses don't disqualify us. Unbelief does. And this is, I shared this because this is the Thursday, one of the Thursday events. Let God minister to you. Maybe you've been walking around dragging your tail because you think, I just blow it too many times. I just mess up. And who do you, it's not Jesus beating you up. Jesus is trying to call you forth and saying, don't let your faith fail, because you're just like all the rest of them. Now strengthen your brothers and sisters. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.